What are we gonna do about it?
Why does he say it like that? What are we gonna do about it?
It's ridiculous.
Music!
Everybody, welcome to the New World Pictures podcast, where we're going to talk about every single movie released by New World Pictures and television. I'm Ryan. With me, as always, is Mark.
The valley is dangerous.
So dangerous. And Erica.
Just keep going, guys. Stay calm. Stay calm and keep going.
The best driving advice. I mean, what else do you need? And we are in April sweeps, everybody. April sweeps. We're going to talk about all the movies released by New World Television. We're celebrating the fact that New World also expanded into television in the 1980s and also a little bit before, well, in the 80s. But even in the Roger Corman era, they did a little bit of TV movies. And we're talking about a lot of TV movies. In particular, this one, 1986's The Gladiator. Not that Gladiator.
It destroyed the only thing he ever loved.
He killed my little brother.
That's why they call it vehicular homicide.
Mindless terror from which no one is safe.
It makes 10 this month.
What are we gonna do about it tonight?
And before the death toll rises, he'll be on the road.
I'm over the line, Susan. I'm way over the line.
There is no stopping. The Gladiator, tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Just, that's it. Tomorrow. Like, when? Wow. What time? It's 1986. I don't know. You need to tell me when.
Tomorrow. In this case, Friday.
No, Monday.
Wait, Tuesday. Sorry,
this is
Tuesday.
Released on a Monday. And of course, we're talking about 1986's The Gladiator, brought to you by the Delish Cantonese Restaurant, serving Los Angeles for 30 years. We feature a variety of dishes, none of which taste distinctly from the other, but will remind you of refried beans. You won't know what you're eating, but just relax. It's delish.
Their refried beans are the best.
They're the best. Also, it's their sweet and sour pork. Who knows?
Yeah,
Could be. This is directed by Abel Ferrara, the director of King of New York, Ms. 45, The Driller Killer. Also this. little known fact. This was during his TV period. He started directing a bunch of TV right after 1984's Fear City, which I believe he was a little disappointed in the final result. So he started doing television. He directed two episodes of Miami Vice. And then this movie, and then the pilot episode of New World Television series Crime Story, a follow-up of Michael Mann of Miami Vice, which actually went at the same time. And Crime Story would actually air the same year, 1986, later in 1986. Ferrara has been living in Italy for like the past 20 years or so, and he is still Good making move. Movies, the most recent being 2022's Padre Pio. And he also has a documentary, I think, on Patti Smith coming out later this year. So he's
was
still
that the one
it.
With Was that the one with Shia LaBeouf?
It is. It is indeed.
Wow.
Nice. I had never heard of it. So well done by you, Mark. Wow. Yes, this movie stars Ken Wahl. Who shot this right before he made New World's Omega Syndrome.
Oh, God.
So, boy, Ken, New World got Ken Wall at a really dark time.
Yeah.
These were both of those, of course, being shot right before he gets cast in the TV series Wise Guy, which for which he is most widely known. He was initially going to be a baseball player. That's how he was starting out.
Not with that hair.
Not with that hair, but absolutely with that ass. Am I right? Woo, that's a baseball ass.
Man, he's got some tight pants on. I love it. Yeah, he was going to be a baseball player before he injured his knee. But that's probably why his character says the only thing he knows is baseball. He doesn't know anything about soccer.
Or maybe it was written in the script.
Maybe. Just, yeah, could have been. Just.
So wait, he doesn't know anything about soccer, but he's a ref every weekend? Oh, okay. All right. Well, okie dokie. Okay.
Sounds like a lot of soccer refs I know.
Huh. Huh. Ooh, burned. You're going to get fined for that.
Ref, offsides. I don't honestly know what that means. And you know, I don't know what it is.
It looked like a home run. So, you know, stay in your own lane.
This also stars Nancy Allen, the former Mrs. Brian De Palma, who broke out in Carrie and would get one of her most recognizable roles shortly after this in, you guessed it, Poltergeist 3. No, sorry, RoboCop.
I'm going with your first there. I'm going to say Poltergeist 3.
I mean,
was when I that's what I remember her as.
Poltergeist 3 to all the real ones, but but to everyone else. Where she played Officer Ann Lewis in all three RoboCop films, but did not do the voice in the RoboCop animated series, which was made by Marvel Productions, which just so happened to be owned by New World. So, the RoboCop animated series.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow. I can't wait for Robotober.
That's locked in.
RoboCop all the time.
Robotober.
Allen told Money Into Light about the experience of shooting Gladiator. She said, "I remember Ken Wall and I went into Abel's trailer to discuss the movie, and he said, 'So what are we going to do with this piece of shit?'"
Wow.
That for me encapsulates the whole experience.
Wow. Damn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Now, I also want to point out that the cinematographer on this was James Lemo, director of Heart.
The director of Heart. Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Just tying these worlds together.
That's right. You know, we just talked about Heart, so it's perfect that you bring that up. Here's where you can watch The Gladiator. You can find it on YouTube and a couple places. You can find it on Freevee for as long as Amazon keeps that service running. And also there's the DVD, which is how we watched it. All of these things, I actually just recently found it again on YouTube, and I think I found a better version. But the versions that I saw when I watched it a couple times were the DVD and another YouTube, and they all look really bad.
Yes. Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
So there is a version on YouTube that looked pretty good. So look for that one.
I would recommend, if you could, travel back to 1986 and watch it Monday night on ABC. That's going to be your best option.
That's the best bet. That's the best bet. And then you get all those fun commercials. I was hoping there would be a commercial version, but well. Let's talk about what this movie is about. Have you ever heard of The Gladiator? Not that Gladiator. You probably haven't. So let's talk about what this movie is about. Mark, what is The Gladiator, not that Gladiator, about?
He thought he had it all. Hunky looks, a good paying job.
Oh, he had those looks.
A beautiful celebrity walked through the door and showed him what life could be like if he only took a chance. Sometimes, when you least expect it, you find exactly what you're dreaming for. All you need is to take a chance and a kiss. FM. Rick Dees is Garth Masters in The Gladiator.
Yes, Rick Dees. Oh my God. As literally the most unnecessary character in this entire film. And there's a few. There's a few unnecessary characters, but he's the most unnecessary.
Absolutely. And playing such a douche in this movie.
He's there, I think, literally so you can be like, Rick Dees! That's the only reason why he's here. And that, at this point, is for a select group of people at this point.
For sure. I mean, unless it's for those people who remember his hit single in the 70s, Disco Duck.
Okay, right, exactly.
That's which all you get, you're hoping
it's
for.
It's getting even more select, Mark.
What do you mean?
Oh,
I mean, that's it. That's a jam. That is a jam.
God, we just blew a lot of minds. A lot of people that are like, I've never heard that. That's insane. All right. Well, Erica, what is Gladiator about?
The only thing Mark didn't mention that it's about is just brotherly love.
Yeah, true. You know? No, yeah, that's true.
There's
yeah.
Sometimes there's just nothing you won't do for your brother except teach him how to safely drive, it seems. So brotherly love, that's what this movie is about.
Yep.
Yeah. No booze or you lose. I mean, that's really the rule of thumb here.
Yeah. I'm pretty much for me, it was the same thing. I pretty much thought this movie's about the driving in LA absolutely sucks.
Yep.
I mean, this movie's proof. It is. If it's not one thing, it's the other. You know, it's some guy, pull over. You know, it's just, it sucks. Traffic. I mean, what a mess. What a mess. Here's the Letterboxd synopsis. We're on Letterboxd, so give us a follow there if you can.
Hold on, let me adjust my seat. I got to make sure that I'm ready for this one.
Oh, yeah. Get ready for this. A road warrior vigilante.
Tracks.
Okay. We making some allusions to other movies? avenges his brother's death at the hands of a crazy motorist by using his souped-up pickup to apprehend drunken drivers and others who abuse their driving privileges.
I mean,
it is a privilege. Spoiler alert! It is a privilege, everybody. Driving's a privilege.
Some big old honking spoilers in there.
Not wrong, but I would say nothing in that description says, I want to watch that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess the souped up car, if you're into souped up cars. I mean, Erica, I don't know if it's totally a spoiler in that, like, it's only because the death of his brother happens like 20 minutes or so into the movie, and he only really decides to get revenge like 20 minutes after that. So, like, I mean, it feels like, oh boy, we're giving this whole thing away. But truly, I think the movie was supposed to, I think that's how they're selling the movie, is that he's on revenge in his crazy truck and he's going to take down other people. So, I mean,
yeah, the plot of this movie,
they take their time to it, they get to it. Boy,
the first 45 minutes, the plot of this movie is at best nebulous.
Yep.
You're like, I don't know where this is going.
It's just a guy living. It's this guy, Rick Benton, that Ken Wahl plays. He's a mechanic. He looks after his younger brother, who's played by Brian Robbins, soon to be of Head of the Class.
Yep.
But currently the CEO of Paramount Pictures.
Wait, what?
Oh my God.
He is also a big part of Nickelodeon for a long time, and he was a director and he's...
Holy shit, he's alive?
He's alive, yeah.
He survived the accident? Someone should tell his brother. His brother's so upset.
He's so bummed out.
Wow.
Yeah, we get an early like opening scene where a killer is in a car and he tracks down a duel style. We never really see who this guy is or what he looks like. And he just attacks innocent people with his car there's no I thought, oh, is there some sort of like rules to it? As you get into the movie, I kind of forgot about that opening scene. I thought, oh, is there like slasher rules? And when I rewatched it and I watched that opening scene, it's literally a lady in a bar trying to stop another guy from driving drunk. And then she leaves and he just takes her down. So I was like, oh no, this is just random. I'll kill whoever's on the road when I feel like it kind of thing.
I'm impressed that you watched this again because.
Thank you. Thank you. I normally watch things three times. I know. Movies that we talk about. But
this one's really straightforward. Like, there's no surprise around the corner in this movie.
Well, so, I admit that the first time I watched it, it was a little late at night. And so I was like, I need to watch that again because I was a little tired. So because
you woke up and you were like, there's got to be something more to this movie. There's got to be. I missed something. It's on me. It's my fault.
I woke up and YouTube was like onto an episode of Wise Guy. And I was like, what happened?
And you're like, now this is interesting.
I was like, this has gotten really good. Oh, wait, it's not the movie anymore. Oh, okay. Well. Because, shoot, I was like, this is getting interesting. Oh, he's in the mob? Or no, he's a cop undercover? Wow, this took a turn. Oh, yeah. No, this is
also,
not.
Is this movie 8.5 hours long? What happened?
Why is it 4 a.m.?
Right.
So we do get into Ken Wall. We get into his experience. He does, through work, he meets his love interest, played by Nancy Allen. Who does talk to Rick Dees playing Garth.
Yeah.
Somehow showing up in this movie. Let's see what a slimeball he is in clip one.
Susan Neville, talk show host. I listen, Hotspot, right? Look, I heard your show. I dig politics, really. I'm a political kind of guy.
Gee, I never would have guessed.
Hey, I was there. Come on, the 60s? Behind the barricades, free Huey, free the Chicago 7, free the Pac-10. Pac-10.
Rick, you're late. But then again, what's new?
Did you ever notice how bad people drive when you're in a hurry?
Ha ha, funny.
I love that he just makes fun of his like joke. When, like, he did that thing that I love when people do it, when they make a joke and no one laughs and they go, well, this is why it's funny.
Right.
Pac-10, you know, like, right. do you understand the joke? It's Pac, do you get it now? Because I said the Chicago 7, Pac-10. And then, I love it. So I actually thought that was a great bit, but then because I'm like, oh, somebody who does that and has to explain their terrible joke is a supreme asshole. So, like, well done on that one. I'm not going to give a lot of high fives to the script on this one, but there's one.
The piece of shit script. Let's call it by what its name is.
Oof, oof, oof. Tough stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also Hotspot. Did you realize it was a political show? I did not realize it. The brief times we ever see Nancy Allen on the Hotspot radio show, she's only talking about the Gladiator at that point, and it doesn't seem like it's a hotly political talk show, but apparently so.
But this movie is a hot social commentary on drunk driving. That is what they are not shying away from. That is the real theme and moral story behind this whole thing. Is
right.
It was during a time that, you know, Mothers Against Drunk Driving was, you know, formulating, or certainly at like sort of its peak of PR.
Sure.
And they're very much pushing on not people not drinking and driving. You know, Ken Wall's character, he's going out and trying to find this vigilante. But in the meantime, he's trying to stop drunk drivers from being on the road.
Right.
And we get a menagerie of drunk drivers in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I've ever seen like a farm pickup on Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood, but you get to see it in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It is at one point he's hunting so hard for drunk drivers. He leaves the mean streets of what I can only imagine is like, I don't know, Van Nuys maybe. And then he's just hanging out looking for people drinking in their car in their suburban home in Reseda.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why he thought, let me just take a trip to the burbs and see if someone's just nipping on a bottle in their car.
He gets around the valley. He really does get around the valley. I feel safer knowing that he's protecting the valley the way he is.
I wish he was still around.
But he has that map, too, also in his, I guess, room? His room? I don't know. His brother's room? He has that map where he's kind of doing the push pins?
Yeah.
I was unclear. Is that map where he's doing the pushpins? Is that where he has busted people?
I think that's the map where he has. I thought it was the map where the guy in the car Right. Who I read in some places they call him the Skull. I never heard them call him the Skull.
No.
Yeah, I never heard.
Never heard that. But in any case, I thought that's where he had caused accidents.
Oh,
right. Where hurt people, caused right, kill accidents. People. Okay. That's what I thought was the pushpins.
Okay. And then typically in a movie that spends a lot of time with the map on the wall with the pushpins, they're trying to triangulate. Where is this person hitting? Is there some sort of rhyme or reason to why they're hitting these different spots? And maybe they can use that as a predictor for how they can capture this person next. This
also, movie has sometimes, sometimes you put the pushpins in there just also to hold the map up to the wall. And I think that that's right. That's what right. Ken Wall was doing. You're just making sure that map didn't go down.
Well, which is real fair. Secure. Real secure.
Normally when I put a poster on the wall, I put a bunch of pushpins in the middle of the poster versus the edges. Because I like to just have it drape.
Yeah, the top part of it. I like the top part to dip.
But I'd like it to still be up.
I was Ken Wall putting those pushpins into just the parts of LA where he's been?
It's like, favorite spot.
I haven't been to Venice. I need to head down there.
No drunk drivers there.
Oh, there's the Thai restaurant I went to last night.
I don't know what that food tastes like. Other than refried beans, my favorite food.
But honestly, of course he doesn't know what it tastes like. He's a heavy smoker.
Yeah.
I want to step back a minute because they get in this car accident. He and his brother, he's teaching his brother how to drive at night, I guess, which is a good idea. So they're driving at night. They get in a horrible accident. Cut to, he wakes up in the hospital in a coma, learns his brother did not survive the accident, goes home. The first thing he does is smoke in the house, lights up in the house. Yep. Right away.
Well, his brother's not in the house anymore. So he's like,
so got that?
My house now.
He smokes in the house. He smokes outside. There's a montage where it just shows him smoking in various places.
Yes.
He's in the car. He's in his house. He's outside his house.
So maybe the pushpins were all the places that he smoked.
Right. I smoked here. Ooh, I had a really great cigarette here.
Well, that thing would actually just covered in pushpins. You wouldn't be able to see the map anymore.
Frankly, I can't even remember all the places I've had cigarettes in LA. It's just too many places. I've smoked everywhere, guys. I do want to talk about that. The big part of the movie, which where he loses his brother because he's teaching him how to drive, but not how to observe streetlights. And also, this is 1986. When people were upset about drunk drivers, but still were not so worried about seat belts. Weren't as crazy about that.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. I remember when we would drive with mom and dad, we would only put on the seat belts if it was raining.
Yep.
Because mom and dad, it's raining, boys. Put on your seat belts.
Now we need them.
Any other time, it was no need.
No dry need. Streets,
no need.
When we do bring in get to the hospital, that's when we bring in Lieutenant Mason, played by Robert Culp, whose show, The Greatest American Hero, had finished its run a few years earlier. And Robert Culp still sounds pretty broken up about it.
Look, this happens in my division every night. Some guy's drunk, somebody else is in the wrong place at the wrong time, and it looks like murder. It is murder. That's why they call it vehicular homicide. And we try to nail these lunatics, but it's not. Anyway, I've got your description of the guy and the car, and I promise you we'll do our best.
So that's it, huh?
I'm sorry, Mr. Batman. I failed.
You don't know anything. Go on, get out of here. Get lost.
It sounds like Robert Culp lost his energy and fell asleep midway through that. Like, he starts out fine, and then as he gets through, he's just like, anyway, I got your number. Can we call cut? I'm exhausted. I'm so sleepy, and this movie's I'm so not into this that I just want to get out. I just want to, can I take a break? Can I have one of those cigarettes Ken Wall smoking all the time?
I want to point out, though, he also says, "Tis murder."
Yes. Tis. How? I mean, what? Was that Robert Culp on the day, or was that on the script? I don't know.
No, that was just, he was just dropping in a Culp there. He's like, I've got some Culpisms, and I'm going to use them. You know, because the joke is, because his last name is Culp, and that's why I made the joke that it's a Culpism, because his last name is Culp.
Oh.
That's why that joke's funny. Now
it's funny that it's been explained to me, you fucking Rick D's. So with no help from the cops, as I said, this is when Rick decides he's going to take down the killer himself. And we're 40 minutes in.
Yeah.
So he's finally like, you know what? I'm going to take down this killer. It's like, it's been a while, man. And he starts his hero's journey at Danny's Dogs by not letting two young punks jump into the drive-thru line. And then when they hit Rick's truck on purpose with their car, he proceeds to hit their car. Here's clip 4.
So they took you on?
Yeah, they were drunk. They started in. That's pretty much what happened, yeah.
So it was a hit and run?
Yeah, he hit on a they run?
Martha.
So how about it?
Yeah, it was a hit and run. Simple as that.
So did you catch those kids? I called it in right away.
Hey, we got it out. We're trying.
Hey, why don't we just chalk it up to something like self-defense and let it go, huh?
Let it go? You ought to give the guy a medal.
A medal? Let me caution you. All of you. Don't go around taking the law in your own hands and looking for trouble. Because you're going to find trouble. Right here.
At the hot dog stand? Like, specifically?
Yeah. A hot dog stand drive-thru. And I have to say, there's a couple reasons I love this clip. For one, it's, you got to give that guy a medal. Like, for hitting another car because they wanted to come in. Like, he didn't do anything. It's, the guys in the car did mess with the guy who runs the hot dog stand to begin with. But there's really no reason for a medal. There's no earthly reason for a medal for what he did. Just banging another car until they just drove off. There's no medal. They don't have any medal for that. And then on top of it is the guy's monologue of the cop who was like, I've been given a few lines of dialogue and I'm going to milk that shit. I mean, this guy is a day player who comes in and God bless him. He's like, I'm going to make this count. This is going to go on my reel. I want to make this count.
My SAG card is seconds away. I just need to make this work.
I got to make this work. And if this drags in enough, I got a good chunk. I'm going to hopefully get some other lines. I mean, people are going to be like hiring me to play cops. I'm going to play so many cops after this. So I love that section of it. I just love that they think you give out medals for hitting other cars. And somebody was like, I'm going to really kill this speech. I love it.
Yeah. Well, plus, I mean, it's dangerous at any Der Wiener Schnitzel, anywhere you go in the LA area. That is danger town.
And what so. Is that? Why did they not? Why did Wiener Schnitzel not step up and be like, what the hell? We'll be in the Gladiator. Why
look
not?
At me. Did I just speak to the olds by keeping the der in front of that? Because that's how I remember it.
Right. Well, that's what it was. That's what it was. That's what it was. The olds of like, what, California? Because I mean, where's Wiener? Yeah. Wiener Schnitzel didn't go a lot of places, right?
No. I think it's just a California thing.
And it's still nearby. We've got one near us here in the valley in Los Angeles. So, you know, still going strong.
The first bite of those chili dogs is delicious. It's the rest of it that you have to really question. You're going to have like a introspective moment with yourself. What has happened to me? What have I done in my life? I'm now at a Wiener Schnitzel eating a chili dog. Maybe I should join LA Fitness. I mean, because we'll keep the LA theme going.
I just got a text from Wiener Schnitzel. They just pulled their ad.
Damn it. I mean,
damn it.
Those chili dogs are amazing. Something and high in protein, very low in carbs. Yeah. And amazing because very low cholesterol. So if you're training for a marathon, I highly recommend the chili dog at Wiener
Training Schnitzel. For a marathon? Oh, man. I've been training. I've been running. I've been doing my intervals in terms of my mileage. I've been eating a lot of Wiener Schnitzel. You know, doing all the things you need to do.
Fartleks in the day, Wiener Schnitzel at night.
Helps me get the rest I need.
And it's a balanced meal in every bite. Wow, I think I rhymed there. Wow. Hey, Wiener Schnitzel. It's Mark
now
at New World Ventures Podcast.
You gotta be back in. In order to take on all these guys and not completely destroy his truck, that's when Rick decides to make Super Truck. Mark, take us through what he did to this truck. What did he do to this truck? I just assume you watched all this and
he took sheet metal and he cut it and put it on his fenders of his. That's like a 1980 to 84 Chevy Silverado. Mm. And he's reinforced the front bumpers on it, which, you know, that makes sense. And then he put a tow hook on the back. I don't know how he's using some kind of hydraulic to get it to shoot into other people's cars. And then he has later on, he reveals that he has some sort of side bar that he can release on the side so he can jam it into someone else's tire.
Right. He also has a thing that pushes another car. He can like push something from the bumper on the sides that something extends and pushes another car.
That's the little thing that comes out on the sides. It can push a car or it can poke a tire or whatever, because he ends up taking the spinner blade thing off the bad guy's car with everything on his car, outside of adding an incredible amount of weight, is, I think, doable. Those 80 to 84s had a V8 350, but they only had 160 horsepower. So adding all that weight is really going to slow you down.
But didn't he add a different engine? He pulled a different engine into it.
But still, even with that additional engine, he also is going to need to adjust the suspension on it, because that a bigger engine with that truck, you're going to have so much more torque that it can bend your frame. So, I mean, I guess you could say that the what he put on the fenders helped, but you really need to put that additional metal on the frame of the truck. Otherwise, the torque could bend the frame, because that frame isn't made to support that much torque in an engine.
Mm-hmm. I say that all the time. You don't want too much torque. Watch your torque. Mind your torque.
That's what Ken Wall was telling his brother. Watch the torque, dude. Watch the torque. You gotta watch
that torque. It's a torquey truck. It has a lot of torque. I mean, I'll give it that. If you recall, our uncle had that same exact truck.
He did.
I mean, not the modified super truck, but the original one that he started with.
He was the gladiator.
It was him.
He did it.
Yeah.
Okay. He also took out the seat and just gave himself a seat, right? Like he took out.
Right. Yeah. Which I thought maybe he would have something in the passenger seat that he needed room for.
Me too.
But he didn't. He just wanted
just a single seat.
Bench seats are for pussies. I need a bucket seat.
Yeah. He was like, I just need me. Just a seat for me. I was like, did that help with the weight or something? I don't know what that did. I don't know. I don't know enough about cars, so I don't know.
Nancy Alley's character is like, let's take your truck to go get that Thai food. And he's like, ooh. Well, it has a bench seat, right?
Right.
I took that out. Why?
It's just me. If you can just hang in the back with the hydro,
or you can just sit on the floor. I mean, if you're cool with that, we can make it
just
work.
Sit down. There's no safety in it, but that's never been a problem for me.
It's not raining.
There's no need for seatbelts. We're good. Before we move on, I just wanted to throw a couple things. Rick's reputation of the Gladiator, he grows when he gets to the super truck.
Yep.
He nearly runs over a couple trying to get to the hospital because she's pregnant, and he decides like, maybe I shouldn't be such an aggressive guy. And he calls Robert Culp, and that's when the killer strolls up next to him at a stoplight. I always think of this note of a pilot script I wrote and sent to like a festival, and they were like, these people keep running into each other in LA. It just seems too convenient. I'm like, have you never seen movies or anything? Convenience is like a plot contrivance of so many things.
Right.
And
right.
Here is the case in point. He's like, I better turn myself into the cops. The killer just drove up next to me. It's like the most amazing coincidence. And that's when we get into, it's like, so much for that map. Whatever he's doing with it
right.
doesn't
that's
matter.
That's what I was trying to say, is that you try to triangulate where the killer is with the map. So many movies set this up. But this movie, the map doesn't do shit. It doesn't help. He's just punched holes in his wall that he's going to have to spackle later.
Yep.
He's
and also the map is ruined, but it doesn't matter. I mean,
he's also tacking newspaper clippings of the events on the wall. If you were to do that today, would you just bookmark all those articles?
Yep.
And if so, would you ever go back and reread them?
You put them like, you wouldn't. You'd be, you'd look eventually in your bookmark folder and be like, right, I was super obsessed with that one guy in the car for a while. Well, delete.
Also,
delete. No, I'll save Groupon, but I'm going to delete all the, I'm going to delete all the rest.
Also, one of the ways that he is stopping or attempting to stop drunk drivers is by ramming them with the side from the side of his truck. So he's trying to ram them off the road, and when he does ram the a car multiple times and learns that it's the husband that's trying to take his pregnant wife to the hospital, that car is able to just back up and keep on going. Two things that came to my attention. One, no exchange of insurance on this. You're not going to be like, you just smashed the shit out of my car.
Right.
Maybe I should get your insurance before I continue on this way. With my pregnant wife. Yeah. But also shout out to the Chevy Vega, because that thing can last through anything. If you people, if you're looking for an old car that has resilience, consider the Chevy Vega.
Also, it probably got some dents in there and you're like, but the Chevy Vega, now it just looks good. You know,
now it just has character.
Now just, yeah, exactly. Erica, it's time for you. Sorry.
Who? Me? I'm just going to pop in and remind you all it's time to talk about things we loved and things we broom, 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 hated.
That's right. We're going to talk about the things we loved, the things we hated. Mark, what's something you loved?
I loved Nick's buddy, Joe.
Oh,
this
guy is
he is resilient. He is the voice of optimism. He is always looking out for he's always looking out for Rick's best interest. He cares about him. When Rick is adding a new motor to the truck, he's like, yeah, I mean, getting back into it, staying busy, you know, idle hands is the devil's workshop or whatever that saying is. And I really appreciated that, you know, he's kind of like a really supportive friend. He also owns a wrecking yard, which I mean, a little bit about me, everybody.
Oh,
I love a good wrecking yard. In fact, when I worked in Santa Ana, California, this is many years ago, there was a wrecking yard near my office. It wasn't my office. It was the office I worked in. But you get my point. And many times during lunch, in my suit, because it was the kind of job that was required a suit, I would drive down to the wrecking yard, which is about 5 minutes away, and just wander the wrecking yard looking at cars and seeing if there were parts that I could pull, because I had at the time a 74 Super Beetle, and I would look for if they had a Super Beetle in the wrecking yard and if there were any parts I could pull for the one that I was working on. And ever since then, I have loved wrecking yards. Something about the smell, about the, you know, you never know what you're going to find. It really gives you that dopamine hit that you walk in, you're like, I could find something totally cool in this wrecking yard every day. I also want to say that he goes above and beyond to help Rick with his truck. So Rick's truck gets hit with his brother. His brother dies. Now, when he takes his brother driving, the first thing he tells him is to push his foot on the clutch so he can start the car. This is what you do with a stick shift. Now, when he returns the truck later, it's an automatic. And I thought, good for him for putting in an automatic transmission. Not only did he fix the crash damage, he put an automatic transmission in that truck. Good job, friend. That's,
yeah,
everyone, that's a real friend.
Yep. By the way, that friend, Joe, is played by Stan Shaw, who also appeared in New World's TNT Jackson. And he was also, as we get into later April Sweeps, he was in one of the first TV shows that the New World invested in, Maximum Security.
Oh.
And when we speak about Wise Guy, he did 4 episodes of Wise Guy. So clearly, Ken Wall and Stan Shaw got along very well because he shows up later in that. So, yeah. Mm. Also, he appears in one of my favorite movies from the 1980s, which is Runaway. But that's not a New World movie, but still.
That's a great movie.
That was a movie he had been in right before Maximum Security. He is good in this. Erica, what is something you loved?
Something that I loved was the absolute sax attack when he is modifying that truck. Oh my goodness. Ooh, the saxophone work when he is putting that sheet metal and all the, you know, enhancements on his truck. Man, nothing makes you seem like more of a badass than some saxophone playing.
I thought you were talking about his tight jeans when you said sax attack. I thought, you mean the tight jeans on him that he's working on that car?
Oh, those jeans, I did love.
Those jeans will do a sack attack on you.
His V-Doll Saxoon jeans.
That is a different kind of sack attack, Ryan. That is a sack attack. I'm talking about a sax.
Okay, S-A-X. Got it.
S-A-X attack.
Right, fair enough.
But yeah, I mean, those tight jeans are a close second. And you get a lot of shots of him just stepping in front of the camera in his tight jeans.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. Love it. But not as much as I love that sax. Woo! Working on my truck. Oh, hell yeah. Hell yes. It made me want to work on a car.
Well, the thing I loved is, and I don't want to step into Mark's territory, but I love the ADR sounds, the recordings of the people that the Gladiator tries to set straight. I have 2 clips here. Let's start with the first one, where he actually uses hydraulic hook. And these are the guys, once he's already pulled their car to the side of the road, and it's just a shot of Ken Wall. You don't see these guys, but let's listen real quick.
Give me your key. Come on.
Here, we're sorry, sir. Honestly, we're sorry.
I mean, we're sorry, sir. They didn't pull over, and he had to eventually chase them down, use the engine. It's just, it's clearly not it recorded at that time, and it just makes me laugh to listen to. But we also, he later tracks down a drunk driver in his garage in a house that looked eerily like the house from Creepshow 2 for some reason.
Yeah. Ooh.
Reminded me of that. Yeah. But anyway, he pulls him out of that garage and starts banging into his car. And let's just play this next one.
Hey, go! Stop! What are you doing? Hey, buddy! Hey, no! Oh!
That is just the guy in the booth going, I don't know, man, just riff. Let's play the footage and you just riff. Like, just say whatever you want. He goes from like, stop, I'll never drink again, to be like, get out of here. Get out! Yeah. You have these in reverse order. He should be saying, get out of here. And ending with like, okay, I'll never do this again. It's just, it's Oh man, it's so, again, you don't ever see this guy as he's yelling, but boy, is that, did that make me laugh.
I mean, even great. Like Claudio Simonetti would be like, that's bad.
It's not good. It's not, it's just not good, but it was, I loved it. I enjoyed this very much. Let's switch to things we hated. Mark, what's something you hated?
I hated that fucking spinny thing that comes out of the rims because okay. Logically it makes no fucking sense. Okay. You have a rim behind a rim. Is a rotor for your brakes. I'm assuming that they have disc brakes, but even if you have drum brakes, you still have a drum that's behind there. There's a spinny blade that comes out of the tires. That sure. Blade extends 8 inches out of the tires, maybe even 10.
Yeah.
Where is that going to compress behind a rim in between the rim and a rotor? And even if you could get it to collapse, it would be so flimsy. The thing would fly off at 50 miles an hour. So you have to have it attached to a rod. So you're telling me that is attached to the rod that goes all the way into the suspension, into the control arm of the car? That makes no fucking sense. How can you do that? That is totally ridiculous.
Exactly. That's exactly my beef, you know? Come on.
Listeners, you are getting a bird's eye view into what Mark thinks about when he watches movies.
Bird's eye? You're getting a first-hand look.
First-hand look. Sorry. Bird's eye implies that you're above the listeners, situation.
You are next to me on the couch right now.
Also, can you see Mark's voice? How do they see? Good job, listeners.
Yeah, I mean, somehow you can do well if there's enough drugs involved. I mean, anything is possible. But you're like, I'm sitting next to Mark on the couch, but I'm seeing him talk. I'm seeing the words. It's weird.
It's like you read my mind about how car mechanics work. Oh man.
This is just also
assuming that we're all high as a kite right now.
Yes. This is also how mechanics see movies. So there's that. Eric, what's something you hated?
I hated the ending.
Yes.
It just ends.
Same.
Credits. Like it ends so abruptly. It's so upsetting. Abruptly.
When it's I watched upsetting. It a second time, because I have the exact same, thing. When I watched it the second time, I was like, man, that just ends completely. Now, the second time through, I'm like, okay, no, he does pull the guy out of the car.
Yep.
He does kind of say the gladiator is done and he gets cuffs put on him. That's it. Like what happened? What happened? Was it the script? Did they run out of what happened? What happens? It feels like it just ends. We're just done. And then just credits. On Robert Culp. They freeze on Robert Culp. Why?
Yeah. Right. And they go into a junkyard. So you think that potentially it's his buddy, Joe, who could be the culprit.
This whole
thing is like, who is this person? We never know who the person is. Then we get a 5-minute boring, incredibly boring demolition derby race.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Davey finally pulls him out and it's just a rando. Just some random dude. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No backstory. Has nothing to do with anything. Just a random dude.
There's nothing satisfying about that ending.
There's also like a really annoying hide and seek game in cars.
Yes.
Where he's just like driving slowly through the junkyard and then zip out pops the skull. It's like, come on.
Yeah,
you're right. Right.
So
right.
Ridiculous.
Roll down the fucking window and listen for the other car.
Right.
The guy has had
he had that sax music going on inside the car and he didn't want it to ruin his mood.
Not turning it down. Not even when I'm hunting down my brother's killer.
Yeah, turn it up.
Crank it.
If anything, I'm cranking it.
What's funny is that he also has the upper hand the entire time on Ken Wall, and then he goes into that junkyard and then eventually just goes, okay, time to go head on. Like, why?
Right.
Why would you come to that conclusion unless you were like, I've got no choice. There's never led to that decision. He seems to constantly be getting away with everything. So I don't know.
And arguably, the way they set that up, the bad guy is close to the exit of the junkyard. So why didn't he just, instead of turning right and doing a handoff, like doing the standoff, just turn left, go back on the road, and get the hell out of there?
Great questions, everybody. Don't know.
That would have been hilarious if that was the ending. He turns left, leaves, and then just credits.
Yeah.
I would have liked that ending better.
Okay, it's time for our favorite scene. Mark, what is your favorite scene?
My favorite scene is absolutely the car accident between Rick and his brother Jeff. Because that scene where they're looking at the headlights coming and they're just hugging each other. Mm-hmm. Is just wow. I mean, chef's kiss moment.
It's the lights going in and the camera sort of like pushes in on Brian Robbins as the driver. But you can see Ken Wall, he's sort of leaning from his position in the passenger seat. He's leaning towards him. And I'm like, I mean, Ken Wall should be dead. Like, there's no way the way his 100%. Body's positioned. I could even give it like Brian Robbins could probably get out of this, but Ken Wall's toast the way his body is. It's
also, instead of pushing him towards the headlights, pull him the other way. Just pull him the other way.
Pull him away. Yeah. He's not locked in by a seatbelt. Pull him out of that.
Right.
It looked like Ken Wall was trying to like do that thing, like when a big wave is coming and you're like, I'll dive under it. I'll be fine. It was like this big truck's coming towards him full speed. I'll dive under it and I'll be okay.
Just let me finish this cigarette and then I'll do a duck dive and we'll get out of this.
Yeah, it's like he was looking for like a cigarette like between like under the seats. Between the seat cushions.
In the pocket in the arm of the car. He's like, there's cigarettes over there, let me grab those.
There's gotta be something. Let me get one last burn in before this truck hits us. Erica, what was your favorite scene?
My favorite scene was, I guess we'll call it the love scene. You know, because it was a pretty dangerous love scene because, you know, he was laying down and eating. So he could have easily choked.
Yeah.
And I just kept thinking that the entire time and laughing to myself of like, close your eyes, and then I'm going to put something in your mouth with chopsticks while you're laying down. He could have easily choked out. He couldn't see what size of food she was feeding him, what it was, if it was going to be like soft or crunchy, if it was hot temperature-wise or cold. Like, he didn't know what was coming. He choked out. Love that scene.
Oh, that's a nightmare right there. That would be horrible.
That seems to tell me that he's like in his mid to late 30s, because if you're doing that to a middle-aged man, like you're trying to kill someone.
Yeah.
trying to give that food to a middle-aged person as they're laying down. You're trying to kill them.
Yeah. I'm a choke risk. I can't lay down and eat. Okay.
Right.
That's a young man's game. That's a young man's thing.
First of all, if I lay down while I'm eating, I'm getting heartburn. Second of all, I don't want to choke out. Third of all, do not try to kiss me when I have a bean in my mouth. Okay?
I'm trying to enjoy that refried bean. It's actually not even. He thinks Chinese food it tastes like refried beans, which is just like, what a palate this guy has. It's unbelievable.
Well, it's from the smoking. Right. Everything just tastes like refried beans.
Destroyed.
She kissed him on the lips and he was like, refried beans.
You've been eating beans too?
He did miss a moment of like when she kissed him, like saying, pad thai? Like he could have made another food joke there. But this movie also lacks any sense of comedy.
Yeah.
That's why Rick Dees is there. That's the only reason why he's there.
Oh, you think he's funny? Oh, interesting.
That's the humor the movie has. I'm not saying it's successful. I'm just saying that's what he's there for.
Somebody thought he was funny.
Oh, yeah. When Rick Dees, when they called cut, everyone was like, oh, wait till you see this movie I'm working on. Rick Dees is in it and he's killer. He's so funny.
Dees nailed it again.
Oh. My favorite scene is that scene where we talked about earlier about when he's clipping out newspapers and he's putting the push pins into the map on his wall, because he's listening to the radio at the time. And so this is clip three. Let's listen to it.
In other Southland news, police speculate three Lakeview girls may have been victims of a hit-and-run driver on rain-slick Foothill Boulevard tonight. Damage to their late-model convertible indicates another vehicle was involved, but there were no witnesses. We'll be back in a moment with the sports news after this commercial.
Gammy's Burgers introduces the All-Pro Meal. One third-pound burger to one you build yourself. A big order of fries and a soft drink. Only $2.95 in all of our stores. Anaheim, Northridge, Santa Ana, West L.A., Stanton, Cerritos, and Torrance.
Wait, banana hammer? What's banana hammer?
We're trying to get into the like drama of this moment, and they let the broadcast he's going into go into a commercial? What? And he's like putting push pins up. What do? I gotta find my brother's killer. Have we ever listened to a commercial? That is ludicrous. What is happening here? Did they sponsor the movie? What's happening here? What happened?
Am I wrong that when they said Cerritos, I was like, oh, that was close to where I used to live.
Right, Cerritos. I know that area.
Yes, Cerritos. Okay, we can go down there.
Cerritos Auto Square. It's just so crazy that they go from a news broadcast, which is, you know, in line with the movie, talking about the killer, and then goes into that commercial and lets the commercial play out. While he's supposedly having this dramatic moment, I was like, okay, that's amazing.
It is amazing. Yeah, I totally missed that. That's you win on that one. That's a great scene.
Well, it's not a competition, but I did win.
And you know why that joke works is because that's the funniest clip of all the clips that we had for the favorite scene.
Oh, thank you for explaining that's what it, makes Rick it really Dees. My Lord. We get it, Rick Dees. Oh, have you heard my song Disco Duck? What's funny about it is okay, all right, enough. Let's do our final questions for the Gladiator. Does fixing a car in your leather jacket make it easier or just cooler?
Definitely not cooler, because a leather jacket's gonna be real hot to fix a car in.
Sure.
But it is going to provide you protection in case like hot oil or radiator fluid gets on you.
Right.
So I'm going to go ahead and say cooler.
Cool. Yeah. Erica?
Yeah, much cooler. Everybody knows that. Leather jackets are full torque. You know what I mean? It's just
full torque.
Yeah. He was totally torqued out when he was working on that car. Full torque. Jacket.
Yeah.
Speaking of jackets. Fair. When they take Ken Wall off to jail in the end, do they let him wear the jacket in jail?
Ooh, I hope so.
No, of course not. Unless he's going to the drunk tank, they're going to take that from him.
Man.
What a sobering answer, Mark. Oh, well, I want to live in the world where they're like, that's a cool jacket. You know what? Keep it.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Keep it. Jail's chilly. They don't want you getting a cold.
We work here. We know how chilly it is. Here's something I didn't know. I even both times I watched. Does Nancy Allen know he's the Gladiator?
Yes.
Does she know
she
for sure?
She absolutely does. Yeah, she totally does.
Does he tell her?
I don't think so. I don't think she does.
I don't think so. I don't know. Yeah, I really don't know.
She knows that gladiators have no taste buds.
right.
I think she just knows him as the ref of the soccer games. And I also don't think she doesn't know Rick D. She doesn't know the Gladiator. Come on.
Yeah. Well, okay. All right. Are you looking to soup up your car like the Gladiator now that you've seen the movie?
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
Erica, do you think we can make some restorations on the RAV4? What do you think?
Yeah, the only thing I want to add to it is just that CB with the megaphone outside the car, so I can ride up on people and say, this is a citizen's arrest. This is a citizen's arrest. Pull over. pull over. This is a citizen's arrest.
Yeah, no, that's a good call. That is a good call.
That is, yeah, for sure. That is, I would love that.
That, and I want to get that saxophone CD so we can put that in there too. Because boy, I really slapped.
All right, here's some very quick.
Wow. Wow.
Here's some very quick research. I didn't know if this was like a pilot that was supposed to become a series or just simply a movie that went to TV. I saw this July 1985 piece. It lists Gladiator as a movie, like that it was a movie and that's what it was intended for. I believe that the Wikipedia page for it says that it was a film purchased by Showtime Networks, but aired on ABC as original film. I don't know for sure if that's true. I'm very loath to even mention Wikipedia because who knows where people are getting some of that information. So I don't know. That's unconfirmed at this time, but I guess that's what it is. I guess it's just simply a TV movie. To me, it actually felt more like a pilot that could have been a TV series, The Gladiator, than False Witness, which was a pilot that could have been a series. I that's one where I was like, I don't know how you make a show out of this. But Gladiator is like, okay, so he's a guy who takes down people with his car, and he's always trying to get away from Robert Culp.
And you could see like a further a relationship between him and Robert Culp, where Robert Culp doesn't like what he's doing, but also they're working together, and it's like really understand the streets, and we need you out on the force because this has become a real problem.
Yeah, like they let him out of jail because they're like, we need you out there, or I don't know, something. I felt like we could have seen this TV series.
Yeah, totally.
So anyway, it's interesting to me because this one was a TV movie. False Witness somehow was going to be a series. I don't know. Okay. It aired, as I mentioned, February 3rd, 1986 on ABC. The morning news of Wilmington, Delaware, put it like this. They said, they have an article that says, ABC opts for violence. Never underestimate ABC's willingness to go after the lowest common denominator in the television audience. Historically, it has the highest pander quotient among the commercial networks.
Wow.
Really?
Well, I guess.
I had no idea.
Yeah, sure.
No idea.
Sure. You got it, Bill Hayden, the television reporter for...
I think he's talking about the hot dog stand.
while CBS is grabbing the Sex and Sleaze set with Sins, by the way, made by New World Television.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Sin Temper.
Man, Marcus is nailing it tonight.
And NBC is piquing the interest of middlebrows with Peter the Great. Don't know what that is. I don't know what that is. ABC is going after the one audience segment left with Gladiator. So, not setting the stage well. IMDb, and again, I hate to bring up IMDb because their trivia to me, I never know where that comes from. But they said that the Dodge Chargers used for the movie were actually sold to them by Warner Brothers, and they were originally the cars used for the Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah. I read that too. I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
Those were not necessarily uncommon cars.
Sure.
So it's plausible, but you could also just get Dodge Chargers.
Right. Like maybe, sure. I guess. I can't find any confirmation of it. And I can't find anything that denies it. So who knows?
So it was. Case closed.
Yep, we're printing the legend. Who knows?
Roll if I had credits. A
gavel, I would do it.
Boy, that episode ended abruptly. They were talking about the Gladiator. They got into some research, and it just ends. This is weird.
Yep. That's it.
Speaking of, that's it. You can also, there's going to be an article on our website, newworldpicturespodcast.com, about Abel Ferrara's TV period. And we're going to discuss his different TV projects that he made, because he lived in L.A. for a little while. He's a guy mostly associated for his movies that he shot in New York. Of course, past 20 years, he's made movies in Europe and lived in Rome. But he's most commonly associated with New York. However, he had a period where he was making TV and he was living in LA. So that's going to be the subject of an article you can find at newworldpicturespodcast.com. You can find all of our episodes there. You can buy a t-shirt that would help us out. And you can find all our socials. Do you want to write us, send us a little note? We have email addresses associated with this. You can send us something. Tell us what's on your mind. Write us, hit us up. Go to our website to do it, newworldpicturespodcast.com. And stick around for more April sweeps as we talk about the movies made by New World Television. We'll see you next time. Bye, everybody. Oh, God. Wow. Oh no.